This is Brewers on Tap.
Come to you from Pittsburgh this week for episode number 15 of Brewers on Tap, the official podcast of the Milwaukee Brewers. I'm your host, Jeff Levering, and don't forget to submit your questions each and every week via Twitter using the hashtag Brewers on Tap. Crew in the midst of their road trip, but they come home on Thursday this week to take on the Washington Nationals and then the Kansas City Royals after that. We'll have more about the upcoming homestand later on in the podcast. But first things first this week on Brewers on Tap, as we take a look back at this week in Brewers history.
And now this week, the Brewers history.
We go back to June 12, 1988. That's when Robin Yount becomes the third player in Brewers history to hit for the cycle, did it against the Chicago White Sox in Chicago in a 16-2 victory. Started out the ballgame with a single in the first, then homered in the third, walked in the fifth, doubled in the sixth, and finished off the cycle with a triple to lead off the eighth inning. That was back on June 12, 1988, Robin Yount becoming the third player in Brewers history to hit for the cycle. And back on June 13, 1997, the Brewers play their first interleague game at Wrigley Field against the Chicago Cubs. Jeff DiMicco led the Brewers to a 4-2 victory as the Brewers become the first American League team other than an exhibition contest to play in Wrigley Field since the 1945 World Series. That was back on June 13, 1997, in This Week in Brewers History. Now let's go back and listen to the week that was with last week's highlights.
1-2 count. Braun sends one to center field. That ball's well hit. And look at this one fly. Ryan Braun with a home run. His 13th home run of the year, and it was hit like a missile out of here. And Gomez, a line drive, base hit. Segura comes in to score. Rogers right behind him. Carlos Gomez with a two RBI single. And the Brewers lead 3-1. Gomez in the right center field. That's going to get down. To the wall it goes. Sardinia scores. And Carlos Gomez with a four-hit day.
Here's the 1-1 pitch. And a swing and a fly ball hit well to center. Deep. Hicks back. Still back looking up. And there it goes. The first home run of the year for Jonathan Lucroy. And the Brewers faithful saluting him.
Here's Adam Lind, the designated hitter for the Brewers tonight. That ball's way back. Look out. Adam Lind with a towering home run. And the Brewers are swinging the big bats tonight. Three-run home run for Adam Lind. And Lind in the right field hits sharply. Oh, it's over the head of Torrey Hunter. Gomez will score, and Lind into second base.
Wow, on the slider, and he's able to pull it. There you go.
Batting with the bases loaded and two outs, the pitch. A swing and a soft liner in the left. That'll drop in for a base hit. Rogers in to score. Segura racing behind him. He'll come in to score. That throw goes all the way to the Twins dugout as Lind gets into second after the overthrow. He's driven in two more, and the Brewers lead 10-5. Adam Lind with six runs batted in tonight.
The 1-2, a bouncing ball, chance to turn it. Segura, Sardinia's got to hurry. The throw in time. A double play. Garza pumped up on his way to the dugout.
One away, man at third. Garza's pitch. Curveball swung on and missed. Just the second strikeout of the afternoon for Garza, but it comes at a perfect time. The set and the pitch. Swing and a foul tip caught by Lucroy. Oh, he hung with that one nicely as Garza strikes out a pair to end his outing. Two walks in the inning from Broxton, one intentional. Nothing in two, the count with two gone. Into the stretch and the pitch. Swing and a miss. He got him. Jonathan Broxton strikes out a pair in a scoreless seventh. So the tarp is coming back onto the field, and we will go into yet another rain delay. Officially, it began at 9:54 local time.
Yeah, so we're looking at 1 hour, 43 minutes on the rain delay here, plus 28. So we're almost even with the rain delay and time of game at this moment.
Pretty close.
There's a swing and a miss and a strikeout to end the game. Francisco Rodriguez comes on and shuts the door on the Pirates. Picks up his 11th save in as many tries, and the Brewers fans having some fun. They hung in there all 5 hours, rewarded with a victory. That was a hard-earned win tonight for the Brew Crew.
The stretch, and the 0-1. Swing and a bouncer hit to third, backhanded by Ramirez. Throws it across the diamond in time. Seven strong innings from Taylor Youngman in his Major League debut. The Brewers have a 3-1 lead as we move to the eighth.
It was a big week for the Brewers on the road as Adam Lind had a big three-hit, six RBI game Friday night in Minnesota. Jonathan Lucroy launched his first home run of the season against the Twins. And Carlos Gomez had a four-hit game, and Matt Garza had big days against their former team in Minneapolis. And finally, Francisco Rodriguez closed out a five-hour odyssey against the Pittsburgh Pirates at PNC Park on Monday, and he got into ninth place by himself in career saves, passing his longtime mentor, Troy Percival. Now it's time on the podcast where we catch up with the crew. And this week we chat with Brewers outfielder Shane Peterson as he reflects being back in the major leagues and what it's like to play in Colorado Springs, as well as catching up with bullpen catcher Marcus Hanel about what it's like to be in a big league bullpen.
Let's catch up with the crew.
We are pleased to be joined by Shane Peterson. And Shane, just one game in the major leagues with the Milwaukee Brewers so far, but you know, we had an off day here in Minnesota yesterday. How's it feel to be back in the big leagues?
Feels good. It's been a couple years, which, you know, can be an eternity in this game, and you know, I'm just happy to be back here. And you know, I was able to catch my bearings yesterday and get some rest, and hopefully come out here and, you know, continue to play well.
Kind of special for you to make your Brewers debut against the team that drafted you, and to see the guy that you got traded for to the Oakland A's, Matt Holliday, in the opposing lineup too. What was it like for you playing against the Cardinals?
Well, I mean, it's been about 6 years since I last played for them, so I've, you know, become a lot more familiar with the A's over the years. But you know, when you first get drafted by your original team, that's the original dream, is to you know, be playing in Busch Stadium and playing, you know, wearing the Cardinal red. And so it was definitely you know, a little different field, especially than what I first thought. But you know, it's, you learn playing that getting to the big leagues is the most important thing, and whatever team will, you know, bring you up, it's, you know, it's the team that you root for.
You had half of your career at bats essentially a couple of days ago against the Cardinals. You were having a great start to the season down in Colorado Springs. What's it like hitting down there?
It's different baseball down there. It's the wind is constantly blowing, it's constantly swirling, it's never the same direction any day or really every inning. But it's a good hitter's park. It's a lot different than any place that I've ever played in. I've come up really through pitcher's parks more than anything else, so it was nice being able to go out there and actually have an extended period of time at a place where it's nice to hit.
Could you tell pitchers didn't have the normal stuff that they usually have? You'd come there as a visiting player in your time in AAA, but could you tell a difference in the stuff from pitchers that you faced?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's, at least, you know, listening to the pitchers, talking to them, that's been their biggest complaint there, is that balls don't do what they want it to do. But, you know, they're getting used to it. They're getting better with it, and it's just part of playing in Colorado Springs.
Down in Colorado Springs, you guys had an outfield that had some pretty frothy beards, and you brought that north with you here to the Brewers. And I think it started in spring training, but your manager, Rick Sweet, does he still have the mustache going?
Oh, yeah, it's still going strong. He keeps telling us that it's going to be coming off soon if we don't start winning, because we're struggling down there for a while. But No, that's still going strong. We got pretty much every outfielder's got a good beard. Our bullpen's going good. Nobody's really shaved. Anybody that's had a beard to start the season has kept it going this whole time.
That's really impressive. How's the itch factor?
I would say we put more products in our beards than most girls put in their hair. The itch factor is not a big deal. It's been cold down there, too, so the warmth has been nice.
It's good. It's a labor of love having a beard.
Yeah, absolutely. You gotta be fully committed. You can't be, you know, if you go and, you know, half committed, you're gonna want to shave it. It's going to be miserable.
We're now joined by bullpen catcher Marcus Hanel. And Kuz, it was great to see Jonathan Lucroy, who's been back for now four games, and for him to hit his first home run, going to the deepest part of the ballpark and almost hit you on the bench, essentially. How key is he to this team to get going?
Well, I mean, huge. I mean, that's a big part of our offense. I mean, you look at what he did last year and with all those doubles, and he's just another guy who can get on base. He's a clutch hitter. He's a great guy behind the plate. So he was truly missed for the last 6 weeks. So it's a great thing to have him back in the lineup.
What does he do for the pitching staff as well?
Well, I think he just does a great job. You know, he can throw any pitch you want in the dirt, and he's going to block it for you. You know, he's just so quiet back there. He's got great hands. He gets a lot of strikes that may be borderline balls. So he just does a great job back there. So we're very fortunate to have him as our catcher.
As a bullpen catcher, he's got to wear protective piece over his foot. How awkward is that?
Well, he was working on that because they did something with his shoes also. They kind of toughened that up by the toes, and he was working on wearing an extension on his shin guards, but he didn't like that. Just kind of inhibited him the way he moved. So with the shoes, and I think the rest of the stuff, just his normal catching stance, he's going to be fine. But yeah, it was a little nuisance for him for a little bit.
We're not talking like steel-plated shoes like the umpires wear. This is like pitcher's shoe goo, right?
Yeah, a little firmer than that, actually, but they did both the shoes, so hopefully we'll avoid any more broken toes from Luke.
Oh, that's for sure. Marcus Hanel is our guest, and our bullpen has been spectacular here over the last week, and, you know, you get a firsthand look at these guys and how they're getting loose. How is everybody in that bullpen? It just seems like such a loose group, and the results have really been there for them.
Well, you got a great veteran, with Kotz, Frankie, and Broxton, and those guys are always talking to the younger guys, even talk amongst themselves, and learning from mistakes maybe that happened there earlier in the year and pitch sequence or a pitch they threw. So just in that, you know, you see them growing and learning together. You got some young kids like in JJ and Will Smith who got some great stuff too. So, and Blazek's just done an amazing job for us. So we got a very good blend of guys down there, just one characters. But with the veterans, though, ability just to show these young guys what it takes to pitch at this level has just been great.
I know being part of a bullpen is kind of a close-knit fraternity back there. You guys are all by yourselves, and you have quite the time out there. You guys play tricks. You guys do some pranks and stuff. Is there a particular prank that's your favorite that you can actually tell us on the air that you've seen in your time in the bullpen?
Well, guys, before they pitch, or they have their routines, and they like to go into the bathroom a lot. So we'll do our best to kind of, startle them by either throwing balls against the door or even ramming it with a tamp. So, and just totally just startle them while, you know, not expecting anything. So those are one of our fun little pranks, especially for the new guys who've never been up yet. And we just hammer that door on them when they're using the bathroom. They come out of there like they got some, that's a good little fun joke that we do.
Well, that's good, and it's clean for the most part as well. Marcus Hanel, thank you so much for taking a couple of minutes with us here, and continued success for the Brewers. This past week was draft week in the major leagues, the first-year player draft, and Major League Baseball celebrating its 50th anniversary of drafting amateurs. And a few days ago, Ryan Braun and Jonathan Lucroy looked back at what their draft experiences were like.
It's scary, actually, to think that it's been 10 years. Time certainly does fly, and when you reminisce about a thing that happened 10 years ago and it feels like it was last year, it's kind of scary and constant reminder of how quickly life goes by. You know, I knew most about the college guys, Troy Tulowitzki, Ryan Zimmerman, Alex Gordon had an opportunity to play against all of those guys during college. So it's been fun to follow the success they've had in the major leagues, to be friends with those guys now for a pretty long period of time, and to just kind of follow everybody's career, seeing everybody play as 18, 19-year-old kids. There was obviously a lot of conversations, a lot of meetings with different teams. I had a pretty good idea that I would end up somewhere in the first half of the first round, but I really didn't know where until right before the pick was made. It was incredible, you know. It's a lot of emotions. Ultimately, it's a very rewarding feeling knowing that all the hard work, all the effort you've put in has led to that moment, and that it's worthwhile, you know. And ultimately, for me, it was just the first step on the journey of making it to the major leagues, but it was certainly a special moment.
Today is a special day for some kids. It's the first round of the MLB draft. You know, take me back to a few years ago when you were drafted at a Louisiana Lafayette in the third round. What was draft day like for you?
Right, yeah, it was 2007. I remember sitting at home, my mom and dad's house, and sitting there waiting for the phone call. And it was on the second day. You know, they do the first and compensation round the first day, and the second day they do rounds 2 through 10. So, you know, I got a call in the third round, I pick 101, and you know, a lot of people don't know, but I was almost a Colorado Rocky, which is a pick right after mine. And right after pick 101, they had 102. And, you know, my agent called the Brewers, said, hey, you know, if you want Lucroy, better take him. And, you know, and I was a Brewers second pick that year because we didn't have a compensation or a second rounder after Matt Laporta. So, you know, it was a fun situation. It worked out. And like I said, it was a great and unique experience.
You remember who the Rockies took right after you?
It was a catcher. I know they took a catcher. I'm not sure who it was. I can't remember his name. He never made it to the big leagues, but yeah, it was. Might have to look that up. But it was a fun time.
Lars Davis, maybe.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, yeah. I think I played against him in college. That's who that is.
There you go. Yeah, Canadian guy. He used to carry a bunch of hockey sticks around with him to minor league parks. Weird dude. But, hey, Brewers definitely benefited from that. Talk about your college a little bit. I know it was a kind of a tough loss for them yesterday in the Super Regionals. Louisiana Lafayette losing to LSU in the Super Regionals. Never want to lose in the Super Regionals, especially to LSU.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a big LSU guy. I hate it. Matter of fact, I hate him pretty much. But, you know, that's just it's kind of that regional, the Louisiana regional, you know, rivalry going on right there. They're just up the road from us, so, you know, and they're not very far. And I still live in Lafayette during the off season. So my wife graduated from there, and so, you know, we're pretty locked in with them. But, you know, it was that team, they weren't supposed to win anything anyway. They're supposed to be a rebuilding year, quote-unquote, and one of those things that you know, they really did good. I mean, I never played in Super Regional when I was there, and they played in two of the past 2 years, so they have something to be proud of for sure.
It's impressive. And you had a little bet going on with Matt Clark, who's down in AAA right now because he's an LSU guy, right?
Yeah, he went to LSU, and you know, we had a bet that whoever won the regional or Super Regional has to wear the other team's shirt and put it on Twitter. So I'm going to be wearing a purple LSU shirt and put it on Twitter in the next few days probably. I got to get it first. I'm not buying it. He's sending it to me.
Maybe it'll get lost in the mail.
I hope so, because I'm going to probably throw up on it whenever I see it. So, you know, it was one of those things, you know. But, you know, I'm a man of my word, so I'll have to deal with it, do it, and deal with it, and get over with.
The Brewers had three picks on night number one of the Major League Baseball draft. Pick number 15 overall, then pick number 40, and pick 55. And we'll listen to comments from the Brewers general manager Doug Melvin, the vice president of amateur scouting Ray Montgomery in his first draft with the Brewers, national cross-checker Steve Rhea, and we'll hear from the number 15 overall pick of the Brewers, Trent Clark himself.
Let's break it down.
You know, I think this is a pretty good pick. We felt he was pretty high on the board, but he's something that we have been looking for. He's a legitimate hitter, left-handed. He's got good plate discipline. He has some power. He can play center field at this point in his career, but we're pretty excited about getting a real true professional hitter, and that's something that we felt we've lacked in our system a little bit recently. You know, I think he felt confident all along. Didn't think he'd be there, so it's a good pick for us. You know, being in this ballpark too, left-handed, is something that we don't have a lot of in our system too, left-handed hitters.
Trent Clark is an outfielder from Richmond High School in North Texas. KJ Hendricks, the area scout. We're excited, obviously, with Trent. Those that will get to know his history, he's done nothing but swing the bat for years. He's a good defender. He's a potential five-tool player in the outfield, and really excited, you know, to get that type of player at 15. He plays center field for his high school team, and we'll send him out as a center fielder and keep him there as long as we can. No issues if he has to move to either of the corners. We have some guys that think he'll move to right field. We have some guys that think he'll stay in center. So at this point, the premium is just to get him out, get him going, and get him comfortable with the Brew Crew.
You know, we saw Trent as a five-tool player. Defensively, he's solid. He's in center field. But basically, he's an advanced high school hitter. He squares the ball up every time. He can drive the ball out to all fields. So he's got a special bat, and he's a special kid as well. So we're excited to have him. You know, the consistent sweet spot contact that he makes, it's uncanny, and it's just he's a natural hitter, and that's what you're looking for. So to say there was an epiphany or something there, no, it was just he was always that guy. I'm surprised that he got to us, but we're very excited to have him. And so, you know, there are a bunch of good players still left on the board, but it's always exciting. And our area scout, KJ Hendricks down in Dallas, is, I know, ecstatic that he got him.
Trent, this is Adam McKelvey from MLB.com. Just could you tell us your reaction when you heard your name called?
I was overwhelmed with emotions that I never felt before. I was really calm and ready for whatever happened to happen, and the emotions hit me. Everybody was around me was cheering. I had a very close family and friends there, so it was a great celebration, and just overwhelmed with emotions.
Can you tell us a little bit about where you are and who you have around you tonight?
I have my closest family and friends, and we're at a wing bar called Pluckers, one of my favorite places to eat. And we have family come in from Oklahoma and up all the way from Corpus Christi. So long drives to share this moment, and it was awesome.
Hey, Trent, this is Todd Rosiak, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. How much sense did you have that the Brewers were interested in you? How much did you hear from them beforehand?
Really, we weren't really aware until about 2 or 3 minutes before the pick happened. I didn't know that I was going to be selected, or if they were interested or not, or what was going on. So we were just waiting to see what happened, and they ended up selecting me.
Trent, can you describe your grip on your swing and take us through how that's developed?
Yes. It's basically a golf grip with my pinkies crossed in the back. When I was younger, I was a weaker kid. So the bat sat in the back of my hands and wiggled around a lot, so I didn't have much bat control. I put it in the top of my hands, got a firm grip on it, kept the thumbs on there to keep it balanced, made me feel like I had more bat control, and ever since then I've used it.
How young were you when you first used it?
13.
Trent, one thing Doug Melvin, the Brewers GM, said, he used the word professional hitter to describe you, which you don't hear very often with a high school player. How'd you learn how to hit?
Well, first of all, that's a huge compliment. Thank you for that. And then a lot of it is self-taught, really. I mean, quite a few mentors that teach me the mental side of the game and the mental approach to hitting. But most of it is mechanics, as far as me swinging and my grip and all that, is all getting in the cage and grinding it out and seeing what's good for me and not really worrying about what it looks like or trying to look like somebody else. And I've lived and died by that, going in the cage and working hard and doing my thing every single time.
Trent, do you see yourself as a center fielder moving forward? The Brewers said that they'd like to start you out there.
I'd love to play center field. I'd love to play anywhere. But I've played center field my whole life. I'm used to that position. They decide to move me, and that's their choice, and I'll roll with it.
And Trent, you have a scholarship to Texas Tech also. Can you give us any kind of hints as far as the signability at this point or what you're thinking there?
That's a decision that I have to discuss with my family and really figure out and talk with some of my close people around me. I couldn't tell you at this point, but I'm just really excited to have the opportunity to start my professional career.
All right, Trent, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Still got a long ways to go, but the excitement in the room is really good about these first three guys that we've added. And I thank Dan, I thank Josh, KJ Hendricks in Dallas for Trent Clark. A lot of hours went into this and just couldn't be more thrilled about where we ended up. I think with Nate Kirby out of University of Virginia, this is a guy Dan has known since he was in the 10th grade. Spent a lot of time with him in and out of the clubhouse with the East Coast Pro Showcase team, on into the University of Virginia, where he chose to go out of high school. If you guys remember, he had taken himself out of the draft, which is fine. I mean, that's just part of it. I mean, it's the University of Virginia. It's a great program. They're in the College World Series. Left-handed starter, above-average fastball, above-average breaking ball, good feel of the pitch, and, you know, I caution on timetables and those types of things. We want him to go out and stay in Omaha, you know, help their team win a championship, and I'll let Dan allude to some of the makeup on the players so you guys can get some insight there.
Yeah, Nathan's a tremendous competitor, obviously mature kid, you know, guy has aptitude, and picks things up quickly and goes out and competes. I talked to him briefly after the selection, and he was excited and ready to get going.
You know, with Cody, like you said, I mean, he's a big, he's an imposing figure. I mean, he's 6'6", 240. You know, he brings pluses to the table right now. I mean, he's 92 to 94. He'll touch some fives and sixes, but, you know, kind of sits in that 92 to 94 area. He's got a curveball. He's got some sharp down break and a hard slider that, you know, started as a cutter, but it can be anywhere 85 to 88. And he's got a great feel for the change. You know, I don't think he utilized it. You know, like he will in the future, but I mean, this is a guy that, you know, is going to be able to hold a lot of innings and just go out there and be a force.
Not only did the Brewers take outfielder Trent Clark, who a lot of folks in the Brewers feel is going to be a five-tool player and a contributor in Milwaukee in very short order, but they also took left-hander Nathan Kirby out of the University of Virginia with the 40th overall pick. And they finished off Monday night's draft selections with Division II right-hander out of Cal Poly Pomona in Southern California, Cody Ponce. Nathan Kirby's 6'2", 200 pounds, has a good arsenal of pitches, and he's been on the Brewers' radar since he was a sophomore at UVA. And Cody Ponce, the big right-hander at 6'6", 240 pounds, a four-pitch arsenal, and he can get his fastball up to 96 miles an hour. Brewers overall with 40 draft selections in the 2015 MLB Draft, and you can check out all of the Brewers' selections at MLB.com.
Checking in on the farm.
And for your daily dose of minor league information, we invite you to check out our blog, Minor Details, at minordetails.mlblogs.com. Over the last weekend, the Biloxi Shuckers opened up their brand-new ballpark, MGM Park, ending their 55-game road trip, and they did it in dramatic fashion on Saturday night, thanks to the heroics of second baseman Nick Shaw.
And he's ready, the pitch on the way. Line down the right field line, a base hit. Rounding third base, Brent Suter. He comes around. He's going to score! And the Shuckers walk off with a 5-4 win in the inaugural game at MGM Park. Are you kidding me?
What a way to open up that ballpark down in Biloxi. The first time professional baseball has been played in Biloxi, Mississippi in over 100 years. Down in AAA Colorado Springs, Elian Herrera, all that he has done in AAA is hit. He's hitting .466 through 14 games after being outrighted from the Brewers. Couple of home runs, 11 RBIs. He has done nothing but swing the bat well in AAA. Second baseman Scooter Jeanette continues to swing the bat well. He's hitting .286 through 16 ball games with AAA Colorado Springs. Couple of homers, 6 doubles, and 7 runs batted in.
Tweet this. Let's check in on social media.
Haven't checked in on the Twitterverse in a while, so let's head to Colorado Springs with our own Tim Dillard as he does some word association with outfielder Logan Schaefer in his player interviews in 30 seconds.
Word association.
Pepsi.
Soda.
Glove.
Catch.
Cheese.
Whiz.
Book.
Read.
Happy.
Me.
Beard.
Me.
Taco.
Tasty.
Vampire.
Blood.
Blackjack.
Win.
Squid.
Octopus.
Volcano.
Erupt.
Banana.
Chocolate.
We had one big question this week for Brewers on Tap via Twitter, and it came from Andrew Mazur. And in Monday's game against the Pittsburgh Pirates, which ended around the 1 o'clock hour local time in Pittsburgh, he wanted to know why the umpires didn't call it early and what the rain delay rules are. Well, the official rule, you can delay a game as long as you want, but you're not allowed to start an inning after 1 a.m. That is a rule that has gone into effect over the last couple of years. They used to have National League rules and American League rules, but now it's just a blanket. You cannot start an inning after 1 a.m. because of a curfew rule. So if you get to 1 a.m. and you're still in a delay, the game would be suspended. Otherwise, if you're playing a ball game and it's raining and you're delayed, you can delay it as long as you want until you get to that 1 a.m. rule. So thanks for your question, Andrew. That's a good one. And thankfully, the Brewers came out on top in Pittsburgh on Monday night.
Here's what's on tap with the Brewers.
As we mentioned earlier, the Brewers are on the road finishing out their 9-game, 3-city road trip against the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight. But they start a 6-game homestand with the Washington Nationals for the first 4 and the Kansas City Royals for the last 2 on Monday and Tuesday of next week. But it's a jam-packed weekend starting Thursday, June the 11th through Sunday the 14th as the Brewers host the Washington Nationals. Featuring a t-shirt giveaway on Friday night, the retro blue t-shirt with the Brewers glove logo, a post-game concert featuring the band OAR on Saturday, and the Carlos Gomez bobblehead day on Sunday. Then the defending American League champion Royals come to town for a brief 2-game set Monday and Tuesday of next week. For tickets to the next homestand, visit Brewers.com. That's it for Brewers on Tap. Don't forget to tweet your questions to @Brewers on Twitter using the hashtag Brewers on Tap. Thanks to our great guests, outfielder Shane Peterson, bullpen catcher Marcus Hanel, and Ryan Braun and Jonathan Lucroy reflecting on their draft day experiences. I'm Jeff Levering. Thanks for listening to the official podcast of the Milwaukee Brewers. This is Brewers on Tap.